Welcome, everyone. My name is Anne Sargent, and welcome to the September Green Team meeting. We're recording this just so that those of you who aren't able to join live can check this out later. So thank you for viewing it later if you're doing that. And most of all, thank you to all of you on the call. This is great. I'm going to just share my screen to pull up the slides for today's meeting. Cool. So welcome. This time around, we're doing, usually we have kind of a formula that we follow pretty consistently from one meeting to the next, but I feel like since several of us have been involved with the Green Team for a few years now, I feel like we want to kind of make the most of this energy of the beginning of the school year and just make sure that everyone is on the same page of getting a sense of the big picture of sustainability at the Ed School. So that's going to be pretty much the topic for the day. And then next month at the October meeting, we'll hopefully get into more of like narrowing down a project that we as a Green Team can tackle for this school year. But today it's really just kind of like stepping back and making sure everybody's familiar with the sustainability basics that we've got in place on our campus. Oh, welcome. Carrie's here too. Great. So glad you all are on the call. So we've got a good mix, just so you know, on the call. Hey, welcome. Of current students and staff members as well as, and many of the staff members I hear on the call are longtime members of the Green Team. So thank you all for joining. Cool. All right. So let's get into it. This is going to be our agenda. So we'll just spend a little time on introductions. And then after that, I'll give you just an overview of some slides that we've kind of developed with operations over the past few years. And I feel like hopefully you'll learn something. Hopefully it'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. We've got solar panels on the roof of Gutman, for example. Hopefully everyone knows that, but oftentimes we don't have signage about it. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it's new for you. So we'll go through that and then have a little time at the end just to go through a few other announcements and hear from you too, if you guys have other things to share. So first things first, I have to say thank you to Celia Dimino, who's a new master's candidate, and had brought this up when we recently spoke about the Sustainability Fellows Program. But she was just saying how it's really great to get started by just acknowledging where our institution is located, even if some of us may not physically be on Appian Way in Cambridge today. Me, for one, I'm remote today. So yeah, this is the land acknowledgement statement that we have from HUNAP over at Harvard, the Harvard University Native American Program. So just nice to know. Harvard is located on the traditional and ancestral land of the Massachusetts, the original inhabitants of what is now known as Boston and Cambridge. We pay respect to the people of the Massachusetts tribe, past and present, and honor the land itself, which remains sacred to the Massachusetts people. And you can find out more about that through that HUNAP link here. And then these photos at the bottom are from the Massachusetts tribe themselves, so you can learn more about their current activities as well. So for introductions, I wanna hear from all of you in a moment about kind of what brings you to sustainability, what got you interested in it. And as you kind of think that over, I'll just tell you a few basic things about my path to this kind of work in campus sustainability. So again, my name's Anne Sargent. I work on sustainability with the operations team at the Ed School. And I'm also a member of the university-wide Office for Sustainability, which is great. I'm one of several people who are embedded at the schools to just make sure that what's going on kind of at the higher policy level university-wide is in line with what people want to see on the ground at each of the schools and institutions. So that's what I do. But the way I came into it, I feel like is just growing up in the times that we're in. I'm an elderly millennial, basically. And so grew up in elementary school in the United States hearing lots about global warming and, you know, electric vehicles are the thing of the future and all this stuff. And this is going back to like literally late 80s, 90s. And here we are. And some of this is still underway, not fully realized. So I just kind of grew up in that context of expecting like all of these environmental issues to be a real big part of life from the get-go. And they certainly have been. But it also helped that I grew up, I've got a few photos here of my background. That's my daughter in this little pond that's off the reservoir of the small town that we grew up in. And so there's like a swimming hole there and it's great. And we just spent a lot of time outdoors, me and my brother and sister growing up. We were fortunate enough to live really in the middle of nowhere, like in the country. So we could play in the woods and we could go swimming and have access to all of this, which was a huge privilege. But a really great way too to develop like a close connection with the natural world. So I appreciated that for sure growing up. Got interested in other things, studied other things in undergrad and everything, but then ended up spending some time teaching overseas in two different places, two countries, first in Argentina and then in Italy. So while I was there, I was just working as an English teaching assistant, but while I was there, there's a photo in the lower left-hand corner here of the cartoneros in Argentina who go around recycling, just making sure to cull like all of the things that can be recycled and reused from trash pickup. And so observing things like that, and also just like a lot of natural kind of reuse habits that had been around, I think, for generations in both countries, got me thinking a lot about resource efficiency and how, and just thinking about a little bit like the consumer culture and the disposable culture in the United States. So essentially working with international students and doing the teaching English overseas led me actually to get really interested in sustainability education and doing campus sustainability work when I got back. The other photos here are just like, yeah, that's probably could be my father-in-law's wine bottles that he reuses every year when he makes wine. There's the city I was living in Italy is pictured on the right there. It's called Matera. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's super ancient. And so it just makes you have a different sense of time. And it makes Rome look kind of new. It's so ancient. It's one of the longest continuously inhabited places on the earth. So I think just being exposed to like those cultures that are so, some of which are so ancient and also just really, really efficient definitely shaped my worldview and got me very interested in doing this work. And now I've been doing campus sustainability for about, I think like 8 years. And yeah, love it, but it's just like a continuous learning process. And I'm excited to see where it goes as we head into these times where this topic remains more and more relevant. So I'm gonna stop sharing my screen here so that you guys can share what your sustainability story is, if you don't mind. If you don't mind just telling us, and if you are in a space where you can't turn on your video or don't wanna share, that's fine too. You're welcome to share in the chat or whatever works for you. But if anyone else wants to jump in and share their story, we'd love to hear it.
Oh, I'm happy to go. I just kind of put a little bit in the chat saying that I've been on the green team for a little bit now, and I'm sorry I'm unable to turn on my video right now. I'm having like internet instability issues and getting a lot of warnings. So I heard that keeping your video off helps with that. So I am Annalise Baird. I work in the development office at HGSE. So I do fundraising and reporting to our major donors on how their funding has impacted the school. And I have been a part of the Green Team for a little over two years now. It's been a really awesome experience. It's super cool to see how ideas kind of bubble up from this group, from all different departments and from the students, and kind of bring that back to our own departments and get that incorporated into some day-to-day functions and just taking like small things and helping them kind of turn into bigger initiatives or add up to have a bigger impact across the school. So I've had a really great experience on the Green Team, and excited to see some new faces and names here today. Am I supposed to share something that I'm doing with sustainability, or just how I got into the sustainability?
Yeah, I would say more how you do it. But if on the other hand, if you've got a plan that you're excited to share, go for it.
Gotcha. I guess I'm just generally have always been interested in how to especially reuse and like upcycle and just create less waste personally, and am always looking for a way to make a bigger impact in that regard. So I think this is the first time I've ever been a part of an organized mission or group with that in mind. But it really caught my eye because it feels like a great way to connect with like-minded people and actually do something bigger than just an action that you're taking in your own home or for in your own life.
Excellent. Thanks, Annalise.
Hi. My name is Mayan Crivache, and I work at Gutman Library. I've been part of the GSC Green Team for a few years now, and I'm an older millennial, so I grew up learning a little bit about what climate change is and what we can expect, and I'm hoping to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. So that's why I'm here.
That's excellent. Thank you. If anyone else wants to jump in, feel free. And if not, that's okay too.
Yeah, I'll go next. So my name is Carrie. I'm a new student this year at HGSE. I'm in the Master of Education program. And I have decided to come over today because I've always been really interested in sustainability. And I can relate to the wine bottles in Anne's slide. My grandparents are also like obsessed with reuse the containers and like bottles or like boxes and stuff like that. And I was also involved in the sustainability team at my when I was in undergrad, so really hoping to continue that and continue the works on sustainability at HGSE. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. All right, Celia and Eric, do you guys want to share anything? Or if not, we can move on, but I just want to give you a chance to if you're interested.
Sure, I'll pop in just for a second. Sorry that my video is not on. I think Annalise and I live somewhat close together and the Wi-Fi has been awful here today. So it's great to see everybody. I know many of you from emails. To the new students, welcome. I hope your first few weeks are off to a great start. I sort of got into this just because I'm in avid outdoorsman, and I would always rather be outside rather than parked at a desk or watching TV. And you've really seen things, or I've seen things deteriorate as I've become an old person, and how it used to be and how things got cleaned up here and there, and just trying to be part of the solution. So, you know, again, as your life changes, you start to do things like, even if you use less, I mean, I love that reduce, reuse, recycle is in order of importance. So, you know, like there are a lot of things out there that really resonate with me, but then you have children and all of a sudden, instead of it just being you and your partner or you by yourself, it's all of a sudden five or six people creating waste and just seeing how many bags go to the trash. And even though you're recycling, how much more just goes in the recycle bin every single week. So just trying to get some good ideas and learn from people who are creative and much smarter than me. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. And Celia just let us know that she cannot speak right now, but she's done some really interesting work, which hopefully she's told us about it at a recent Green Team meeting. So I encourage you to go back and check that out when we last met, I think in August. But yeah, she's worked with an organization in Turkey that's providing resources and everything for refugees over there. And one way that I don't have the link here, but we will send it out with the notes. One way that they are raising funds is actually through an Etsy shop where you can buy like upcycled reusable napkins and things like that. A lot of things that they're making that are really beautifully made out of you know, old tablecloths and other things like that that are finding a new life in these products. But anyway, she and I have had some really interesting conversations lately about how some that kind of work that she's done is a chance to really see the impact of global migration right now and how it ties into sustainability. And anyway, I'm sure you'll be hearing more from her throughout the year on that, because she's got a lot of interesting things she's working on. But I'm just chiming in for her because I know you can't speak right now, Celia, but you've got such a cool story to share. So cool. All right. Let me just check out chat here. We're good. All right. So I'm going to just bring up the slides one more time to get into a little bit of what's going on at the Ed School for those of you who may or may not know or just want a refresher. So one thing, yeah, going back to, let me just check out my agenda one more time. Yeah, Sustainability 101, live it, learn it. So a few years ago at the Office for Sustainability, we had come up with this slogan, and I do like it because I feel like it ends up encompassing of a lot of what we want to do. So it's just live it and learn it. And so hopefully these few slides I've got for you guys today will get especially more into the learn it piece. So just like, so you feel informed about what is going on in campus. And the live it part, I think, is a fascinating topic. I'm sure pretty much all of us on the call and anybody listening afterwards here does things in their own individual lives to make their lifestyle more sustainable and kind of reduce your impact, which is awesome. Keep it up. But if you guys are like me, you may have been thinking recently as well, as I feel like the environment becomes more extreme and more notable and just like more part of the mainstream conversation in the media and elsewhere, it's becoming more and more apparent that obviously like we have to keep up with the individual lifestyle changes, but that alone will never be enough. And so that's one of the beautiful things about why we're together on this call today, is just like finding ways to act collectively to push the institutions that we're involved with and a part of further along towards sustainability. So we'll get into that a little bit too, but just my point of view, personal opinion. And actually one more personal opinion. I'm very excited about the news we're hearing now that Harvard is divesting. The Harvard Management Corporation manages the finances for the university. And so they are the ones deciding where those funds are going. Not my office, unfortunately, but it's them. So they have more info about it, and you can check out all the press releases in the Harvard Gazette about it and everything. But what I learned this week is apparently a lot of what's been going on got a lot of attention last week, but some of it has actually already been in place for a little while. It's just been kind of received differently this time around. But whatever it is, and the university is not officially using the word divesting, but that is pretty much the way that they're moving in, as the like less than 2% of their investments that is currently secondarily invested in fossil fuels is going to be expiring. So that's just great. But yeah, anyway, the official word from the university is not that it's divestment, but that's how the media is treating it. And it is pretty exciting to just see that we're like really going in a good direction. So check that out as well. All right. For the live it piece, these are some of the things that you can do at the Ed School if you're not already aware of it. Bring your reusable mug or bottle to campus if you can, because we have really great water bottle filling stations across campus. There's one on, I think, just about every floor of each of the three main buildings. They're very accessible at this point. Like we've done a good job in the last few years of making those pretty easy to access. So have that bottle, use that. That's great. The water that comes out of those is filtered one more time. It's already City of Cambridge water, which is high quality to begin with. They tend to test really well. The water primarily from the Quabbin out in Western Mass, but it's really nice, clean water. It's been filtered one more time. It's a nice cool temperature. Take advantage. It's great. It's a great way to avoid single-use bottles. And it used to be the case that you could get discounts at the cafe if you bring your own mug. They have paused that right now because of COVID, but anyway, still good to have your own mug and take advantage of that. You're here at a green team meeting, so thank you. If you know anyone else that might want to join a green team meeting, definitely let them know that we meet on the third Thursdays of the month from 1 to 1:45 for now. And it's virtual this semester, but hopefully by next semester, we'll be back to some kind of in-person meeting. And by the end of the semester, honestly, even I might schedule some kind of like in-person social meetups, at least for us, for those who are around and want to be able to meet face-to-face. Any of you who are students who haven't already heard about it, I encourage you to check out the HGSC Sustainability Fellows Program, which the Green Team and I started just I guess this is our third year. So it was about 3 years ago that we came up with the idea. We wanted to find a way for students to be able to get more involved. And so we just kind of created this program, and it's still evolving, but it's great. It's a good way to be able to pursue an individual project. And then the other thing I can say that's good to do on campus is, I don't have refuse and reduce, but those are probably the first steps. But on top of that, you can try to find ways to reuse what you end up consuming. As a next step, if you can't reuse it, you can compost it. We can compost pretty much everything that comes from the cafe, including the straws, like everything photographed in these photos here that I'd taken a couple of years ago in times pre-COVID, all that's compostable. So with the exception of like sushi containers from the cafe or a few limited number of to-go items, almost everything else is compostable. So feel free to put it in the compost when you're done with any food scraps, and that will be sent to a facility just north of Boston where it goes through anaerobic digestion, and it's basically like they manage to create energy and break it down and capture all the carbon from it, which is awesome. So you can learn more about that on our website too at green.harvard.edu/waste. Okay, there's one of our nice bottle filling stations. Check them out. What else? Oh, so one tip I have actually is for those of you who are taking classes or involved with course design at all at the Ed School, I definitely recommend finding ways to just bring sustainability into the conversation in the classroom. So if you're covering anything and you feel like it touches on environmental justice, or even like we were talking about a moment ago, I was saying with Celia's work, how immigration and sustainability migration and sustainability are very closely intertwined. Just like look for those connections and bring it up. I think it's a great way to keep it central and right at the core of what we're learning and doing. Something else to think about is, of course, you can walk, bike, or take public transit to get to campus. In the era of COVID, if you're not feeling comfortable with taking the T or you're not sure about it, you can find out more about their protocols right now at, I believe it's mbta.com/ridesafer. They are doing frequent cleanings and have implemented a bunch of rules to make it safe again. So you go with your own comfort level, but it's don't consider it like completely off limits. I would say it can be an option depending on your specific needs. And something else actually for those of you who may only be here for a year to think about, if you're interested in biking, but you don't really want to deal with owning a bike and all of that, try out the blue bikes that you see around campus, because they're really great just for like the connections between public transit, which sometimes leave you kind of stranded with just still too big of a distance to cover. So blue bikes can be helpful for public transit, but they're also just amazing to get around Harvard Square. So check it out. Got the stairs instead of the elevator, always a good move. And right now we're not doing, the last item I have here is donate items for reuse at move out. Typically at the end of the year, we a box set up in the Gutman entryway there, so that if you're getting ready to move and you no longer need heavy winter jackets or office school supplies, anything that you've accumulated in your time here during the academic year, you're welcome to drop it off there, and we'll make sure that it goes to the Harvard Recycling and Surplus Center to be distributed out to new students when they come in the following year, or given away to charitable organizations that are looking for supplies. Learn it. Let's see. Can't see the top of my slide, but yeah, typically we do a bunch of reuse events. Those are a little bit tricky right now with COVID. We'll hopefully be figuring it out by the winter time. But yeah, our main reuse event that we do in the fall is a free cycle, which is when it's just like an everything is free yard sale. So you can, people when they're moving offices or students settling into apartments and dorms and all that, can bring in items they don't need. And then we offer them up to anybody in the community who might want to grab them. It's fun for like, it could be a fun way to get art supplies for kids or notebooks, binders, you name it. Like it's great. We're just not doing it right now because we want to be cautious with the Delta variant and everything going on with COVID. But do look for that. That may be back by course shopping week in January. And we also typically participate in Harvard Recycling's cosmetics and toiletries drive for Valentine's Day, where they'll take just shampoo, bath items, everything, and donate it to the family shelter down in Cambridge, which is great. And so that they can do a little kind of treat yourself spa-like party for their residents. And it keeps all of that from just going into the landfill too, which is good. And again, we do the move out donation stations. Do you guys have any questions? I've got a little info here about compost and recycling. Do you have any questions about how any of that works on campus? In general, compost internationally, I feel like is often referred to as organic waste more commonly. So sometimes that term can be a little confusing for people depending on where they're coming from. But yeah, compost is really like anything that can turn back into soil eventually, or is specially made out of plant-based plastics and therefore can also break down. The recycling is all single stream in Cambridge. Not necessarily the most efficient, but that's what we've got. It does make it easy. So everything just goes into one bin. No need to separate further. The one thing to keep in mind these days with recycling is the term they use is no yuck. Like don't put in any cups that still have liquid in them, or you know, containers that have food in them, because that can end up, it's what they call contaminating the waste. And then that whole like bag of recycling might not actually end up getting recycled. So the main thing to keep in mind with recycling is be cautious. If you're not sure, it's okay to put it in the trash instead. And also just try to keep anything really icky out of the recycling so that the recycling stuff stays clean and can really be reused.
And before, yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't know if my sound is coming through. Okay. I just got some really weird feedback. Before you move on from this slide, can you just explain or talk a little bit about what the picture is? Because it looks sure. Like it's just so small and it's hard to read, but it looks like we have places on campus that we can recycle these
and things? I'll share these slides out. This is if you go to that link here at the bottom, green.harvard.edu/waste, you'll find all this signage there as well. But yeah, this sign that you can't maybe see depending on how big this is for you. It says universal waste accumulation area. That's a sign that we put together. It's a little confusing because we use two terms at Harvard, either universal waste or e-waste, like electronic waste. But essentially we do try to keep some of these things that can be pretty toxic to have in the regular waste stream, we try to keep them out. So that includes used batteries, chargers and cords, cell phones, computers, laptops, et cetera. As well as toner and inkjets. So any of that stuff, Maya might actually be able to speak to this better than I can, but like typically we have accepted that for recycling on the third floor in Gutman at GSEIT. Do you know, Maya, if that's going on? Not that you've heard of.
I'm not actually sure.
It should be.
Yeah.
The person from operations who works on it is Jeff. But anyway, as far as I know, that has not been discontinued. So definitely try it out. Like if you have any of these items, batteries, chargers, headphones, et cetera, and you're looking to dispose of them responsibly, I would say check in with IT on the third floor in Gutman. And because I believe they have a collection bin that they send to Harvard Recycling, who then they have a whole process for making sure that that gets separated and properly recycled. So. Hopefully that answered that.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. Thank you. I just wanted to call your attention to, sorry, you can definitely finish what you're
saying.
I also wanted to call your attention to the chat. There's just a question about water.
Oh, shoot. Thank you.
Fountains in there.
Let me get to that in 1 second before I forget about waste. Another thing I can share with you guys is Rob, I'm taking care of my kids solo this week and like all names are just like flying out of my head. I'm sorry. Anyway, Rob was amazing and he was our recycling guru for like decades over at Harvard Recycling. He retired in the midst of COVID a year ago, but there's a new coordinator named Daly, a woman named Daly Brannon, who's wonderful. And she is a great point of contact over at Harvard Recycling. So if you in general have things that you would like to get rid of and you're feeling disappointed that there's no free cycle going on right now, or easy ways right on campus to donate items, feel free to like reach out to her, and she'll let you know that they have open hours over at the Harvard Recycling and Surplus Center on Thursdays from 10 to 2, I believe. Also, all this info is at this website here, green.harvard.edu/waste. But anyway, you can go over there to either shop for items if you're looking for, to get something reused. By shop, I mean pick up for free, or you can donate. Like if you've been cleaning stuff out at your office or whatever, and you just need to get rid of some stuff, they're happy to take things there. So she said the best days to come by is their open day, which is that Thursday, but to reach out to her if that timing doesn't work for you. Okay. Sorry to just be talking so much. Let me check out this question here. Signs over the water fountains and lawn follow, urging folks not to drink from them for COVID reasons. So then one thing I can say that I saw, I noticed even at the Science Center yesterday elsewhere on campus at the university, at the college level. Yeah, the water fountain, I had submitted, you can, if anything's ever broken, you can submit a work order to operations. It's right at on the operations website. I did that recently and then they said it was fixed, but it may be a problem that it's just constantly doing this. Yeah, good to know about. I'll bring it up with them. But yeah, in terms of water fountains, I believe that the university kind of settled on like the bottle filling stations are safe. They're hoping that people are keeping them clean and not, you know, rubbing them up against the frame of the filling station when you're using it. But I have seen that many water fountains are like either covered up or closed off. So expect that you need to have a bottle with you to be able to fill it up there. Cause like without COVID, normally you could also just take a sip from a water fountain, but the fountain aspect is shut down right now. Whereas like the bottle filling thing is working. Hopefully should be cool. Good question. All right. Let me see what else. Got. Oh yeah. These are our signs. Look for those. Kind of shows you what goes where. These are posted above the waste bins, for example, in the cafe and available for download at that same website I've been plugging. So check it out. Fun things you can recycle, pizza boxes, as long as they're not super dirty, like that's okay. What else is in here that's unusual? I think the compost, the main thing that gets people is the containers. You don't expect something that looks like a clear plastic to be compostable, but if it's marked PLA and is from our cafe, it's definitely compostable. And trash is then like, that's a lot of things that they want you to keep out of the recycling and other places, like broken hangers. Plastic bags, unfortunately, cannot be recycled here. I know in some countries they can be recycled with other plastics, but not in the United States. They just mess up the machinery. So FYI. Okay, I will stop talking in a moment. This is the last little bit I want to share with you guys, is we have 6 different projects at the Ed School that are LEED certified, which is Leadership in Energy Efficiency and Design, I believe, which is awesome. Can learn more about those on either the operations website or green.harvard.edu/HGLC. One of our main achievements in the last decade or so was that we did manage to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions 30% by 2016 compared to 2008 levels. Our solar panels on Gutman are wonderful. There's 24 of them up there, which is great. And no one can see them, but they're there working hard for us and helping to power our campus, which is awesome. Oh, and another thing that's a pretty new development is like, for example, with the last LEED project was the renovation of the Gutman Conference Center in the ground floor of Gutman. For that, they really specifically chose furniture, carpets, paints, everything. They made sure that they were free of chemical flame retardants and other toxic chemicals. So it really adds to the air quality down there, especially considering that it's somewhat, you know, it's more closed off. Typically the ventilation is certainly up right now with COVID, but yeah, that's been great. Along with like putting in the green wall down there and just making it more accessible by stairs. There've been some really positive developments with that project. But I love this, that the operations team is thinking about air quality in general, even beyond COVID. Here's a few more little factoids to know. This is a photo of a student from several years ago at one of our free bike tune-ups, which was fun. We'll hopefully do one of those again. Oh, our cleaning products, 98% of those are Green Seal certified, which is great. So again, that helps a lot with indoor air quality. And the Gutman Commons Cafe about 3 years ago got certified as a green restaurant. Sorry about the typo here. And for forever, is like before I even showed up at Fed School, and I feel like I've been here a while, the landscaping has been 100% organic. So that's also great. That is it. I'm going to stop here and just see if you guys have any questions before I cover a few announcements and we wrap things up. Any questions about campus sustainability? Questions or suggestions? Happy to take notes on any of that. Cool. Okay. Any confusion around compost, recycling, any of the basics? No, we're good. Okay, great. Well, if you do have questions, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. All right, so the last few things I just want to share with you is just a few announcements of other things going on here. Sustainability Fellows program is open. Like, I'm accepting application. The application is live online and you can apply anytime through Friday, October 1st at midnight for you students who might be interested. One event I'm excited about for the end of the month is commuting sustainably in the COVID era, which we're gonna do with Commuter Choice online. It's just gonna be like a little grab your lunch and join us and hear from them. They're gonna talk about some of the new benefits they've developed to make things make more sense for staff and faculty dealing with different, more remote work schedules. And yeah, it should be good. That is geared really towards employees primarily, but for students, if you're interested, Office of Student Affairs has semester passes that you can get through them, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Oh, and the Green Team Leaders thing, we had talked in recent meetings about starting something similar to the Sustainability Fellows, but really for staff, where staff could lead their own programs, lead their own projects. But I'm putting that on hold for now, just because I feel like it doesn't make sense to be taking on, you know, who knows, 3 to 4 more projects that would need to be kind of shepherded throughout the year. So for now that's on hold, but if you do have a project that you want to see the Green Team complete this year, definitely feel free to email me or otherwise let me know, since we'll be discussing that at the next meeting. And this is the home base. These are the two websites that where you can find all this info and more. And again, if there's anything missing, certainly let me know. All right, so that's all I have for you guys. Anything else you want to share, like in terms of interesting events or lectures or anything going on in your lives, sustainability related, that we all might benefit from knowing about? Good. Great. Annalise says she just submitted a work order for the broken water fountain. That's great. Yeah, definitely do that anytime. That's why the system exists. All right. Well, if you guys don't have questions, I'm going to end the recording here. And if anyone wants to stay on just to chat, we can chat for a moment. But thank you so much for your time and for joining. Thank you.